You're listening to Building the Game with Rob and Jason.
It's Building the Game with Jason and Rob. For tabletop game design, you really can't go wrong. Building the game, yeah, building the game.
You know what show I still think was great?
What's that?
It's not, but you know what? I wish they don't have it on Netflix, but if they did, I'd power through all of it. The Young Riders.
Oh, I don't know that show.
What? Oh, no, I have to see if it's on Amazon Prime or Netflix, because, dude, you need to watch it. So, picture this, right?
Okay, I'm excited.
This is a little alternate history where Billy the Kid, Wild Bill Hickok, Buffalo Bill Cody.
Okay.
At some point, I think Frank and Jesse James.
Are they all BFFs as teenagers?
Are you ready? You ready?
Uh-huh.
They all work on the Pony Express.
Oh, that's so good.
It's so great, but it's so fun.
Oh, that's terrible.
It is, but so Wild Bill Hickok, Josh Brolin.
For real?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Before he was anybody. Buffalo Bill Cody, Stephen Baldwin.
For real?
Yeah, Stephen Baldwin, that's the blonde guy who's like, yeah, I'm crazy. Yeah, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah,
it was in like Biodome.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then there's a guy in it who's Native American, whose name is Buck. There's a guy whose name is Ike, who's bald.
Okay, I like
him already. And he's deaf mute. It's...
Young Riders.
Oh, and I think that Teaspoon...
Teaspoon.
He is he's the guy who runs that station. I think that's like Anthony Zerba or something like that.
I don't know.
He's like a famous older actor.
Okay.
But yeah, like he's the and, right? And Anthony Zerba. Uh-huh. So I think. Or I'm just making that up. I don't know. But
I don't know. Sounds like a made up name.
I loved that show so much when I was growing up. And I actually bought a box set of it because I thought it was the whole thing, but it was just like the best episodes. And I was really sad. It was only $15. I should have known that it wasn't
the best of Young Riders.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is doing a disservice to the term best of. I'm certain of that. But anyways, all that show, man, that show. Wait, do we even start recording yet?
Are we recording? We're recording.
Recording. Did you do the intro? I don't know.
No, not yet. We can, let's just roll, man.
Let's do the intro.
You want to do the intro?
Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today is Monday, someday of the year. This is the day, 2015.
It's the 28th.
December 28th, episode 187, also known as 187.
What does that mean?
That was like really big back in like the 90s with gangster rap.
Is it?
Because 187 is the police call sign for murder.
Oh, so, you know what my wife's extension is at work? 187.
Right.
That's
okay. She's a killer.
She is a killer. She's That's hilarious. Yeah. So this is a killer episode, man.
Yeah.
This is a killer episode.
Because remember the band Sugar Ray?
Sugar Ray, yeah.
Their guy was his
every morning there's a halo their DJ. This is kind of our song, dude, you know?
No, it's not.
It is. No, totally. It is. Like every time we go somewhere and like have a meal together, probably three times out of five, that song is playing.
You and me?
Yes.
Really?
Seriously, dude. Yes.
I've never noticed.
You've never
that.
Noticed this?
No.
Like, I would say three out of five times.
I think I blocked that out.
At some point while we're sitting at that restaurant having food, that song will play at some point over the intercom.
That's probably true at every restaurant ever, because that song is so...
Well, yeah.
Like, part of
it's our song,
the mindscape.
Man.
Oh, that's great.
It's our song. Heart right here.
That's creepy.
Bing!
Rob just made a heart with his hands and then went, bing, as he blew it up.
Right.
Which is something our friend Will does.
Right. So lots of love, Will.
Anyways, so Sugar Ray, what's a cool story about Sugar Ray, I may have said this on the show before, but so they were a heavy, hard rock band, right?
Well.
No.
I guess they actually were.
Their first album is actually really great. Like, and then their second album,
they got all
really,
poppy.
No, really good,
oh,
except for one song,
oh.
Which was Fly.
Fly.
I just want to fly.
That the song, one right? Poppy song, and that was the big hit.
And that was the hit.
Yeah.
So because of that,
uh-huh.
They became super popular, and they had to, that's what they did, right?
So their producer's like, dude, we gotta
right. But like, I've seen them in concert, and they play the hard rock stuff too, yeah. And it's really good. Yeah? So, okay. Yeah.
Good.
So yeah. So if we had to pick a song by them, I feel like there are cooler songs than Every Morning.
Every morning.
Do you realize what that song's about?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Is it about a one-night stand?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Somebody's calling you and there's...
Somebody called me and then hung up. You know what it is? It's a collection call for some dude who doesn't live here.
Oh, okay.
We get calls all the time. Yeah. And like, it's the robocall where like, hi, I'm calling about a claim filed against. And it's like, dude, Bob Newhart. And then it's like, and you need to get like, because they don't even get to say the name because it's like...
Bob Newhart, he's a deadbeat, that guy.
I just wanted a name, so yeah. Yeah. Okay, so what else was I going to tell you? So, hey, 187, that's the episode. Oh, so anyways, the reason I was talking about Sugar Ray is their DJ is DJ Homicide.
DJ Homicide.
So, but on his thing, it says 187, which is funny to me because when they hired the DJ, they started playing like, I just want to fly, right?
Uh-huh. Right.
And they were like, DJ 187. I'm like, no, dude, really? Nope. You guys like DJ Puffin stuff, okay? Yep.
DJ I Love Pop Songs.
DJ Papa Rock.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's exciting. So today is a special show. This is the last show of the year, also known as the BTG Year in Review show.
Right. I hope everybody had a good Christmas.
Yes.
Yeah. I hope you got all kinds of good crap for Christmas. I almost said the S word.
Hey, you know what? So it's not Christmas yet, but you know what I got for Christmas?
What'd you get for Christmas?
I got a hammer and some sort of flashlight.
Yeah?
Here's why I know
this. Pretty
because
good.
So my wife, we don't buy gifts for each other, but now that we have kids, we feel like we should because like the kids want to buy gifts for us, right?
Yeah,
so we take the kids out. Well, Josiah, just the older one right now, take him out and then he buys a gift. Like we pick out a gift together, right?
Sure, sure.
So Steph is talking to him about this and she says, hey, let's get a gift for daddy. And he's like, oh yeah, let's get him some tools. And she's like, oh, that sounds great. You know,
right.
She's like, now it's a secret. Okay. He's like, yeah, it's a secret. We can't tell him. Okay. We won't tell him.
Nope.
All right. Good.
Don't tell him.
5 seconds later, I step into the car. Daddy, we're going to go do some tools. So great.
Excellent. Great.
So
great.
So like literally 5 seconds later. So then they go to the store and they pick out some tools.
Mm-hmm.
And on the way home, they talk about how they can't tell me what they are and that they need to hide them so I can't find them. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He walks into the house and says, Daddy, we got you a hammer and a light, but right. We're going to hide it so you can't find it.
Right.
So
yeah.
So yeah. So the surprise will be what the hammer and the light look like.
Yeah.
So
good.
Yeah, this would be like my fourth hammer, but he really likes hammers. And I'm like, you can't have too many hammers.
Hammers are good. Sometimes you need hammers.
So my wife is like, I got it into like a smaller hammer because like I've got like, I have like an old hammer that's like normal size, like smaller size.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
carpenter
I have like,
hammer.
Yeah, and then I have like a 16 Benny hammer, like the big heavy
big,
one.
Big,
you know?
Yeah, framing hammer. Yeah.
So yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah.
So anyway, so I was like, yeah, I want.
You know what I need? I need a ball peen hammer.
What do you use that for?
For pounding out dents, mainly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What do you pound out dents in?
Sheet metal.
When's the last time you needed to pound out dents in sheet metal?
About 9 years ago. About 9 years ago, I had to pound out a dent and some sheet metal.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you ever have to again, you'll be woefully unprepared.
I know, because I don't have a ball peen hammer.
You could probably just go buy one.
Well, they're pretty cheap. It's true. I have a your basic I think probably have like two like framing hammers and I have your classic just carpenter's hammer. I've got a couple. No, I have one tack hammer. Tack hammer. When you need a tack hammer, it's good to have a tack.
What's
hammer.
A tack hammer do?
It's a smaller hammer for hammering
like
in tacks.
A little tiny hammer.
Well, it's not like that tiny, but I mean it's got a smaller head on it. It's got a shorter handle. It's right. for hammering in tacks. You don't need all the leverage. You don't need the,
right.
the heavy
yeah.
swing.
And that,
you know?
The big hammer I have, it's got the real heavy head. That way it's, you know, for really smashing
right.
stuff.
For just smashing the crap out of stuff.
And what's funny is
smashing the piss out of things.
I rarely use hammers. When I use a hammer, it's probably to hang something on the wall. Mm-hmm. So the big smashing hammer, not really great for that.
Not pretty useless.
Did you notice right when you came in, our clock is on the wall now.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, like right above the staircase.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
All right, I'll have to look at that.
That's exciting. So I'm excited.
I'll probably forget to look for it.
Clock is big. So.
Is it a big clock?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
It's like this.
Congratulations.
So
it's like this big?
Yeah.
That's helpful for the builder or something.
Take your arms, builders, and assuming you've got about the same arm length as me,
right.
and just make a moon circle above your head.
Make a moon circle. Turn your hands in, your fingers in.
And then that's how big the clock is.
That's perfect.
Give or take.
Right.
So that actually could be way wrong. I don't know.
I don't know. Hey, it's close enough.
You'll never know because builders, you're probably never going to come to my house.
Right.
Hashtag you're not invited. I'm just kidding. There are several builders who I invite to my house.
It's not very digital of you, man.
Len, you're not one of them.
Ouch.
I'm just kidding.
Dude.
I don't know.
Ouch.
I feel like Len came to my house. He'd drink all my beer. That's
Len
why
almost
Len's
came
invited.
To my house once to drop off. He was going to drop off cheer wine at my house.
That guy's so awesome.
But I wasn't home, and I didn't want to scare my wife. But now she knows him, so he can come and drop off cheer wine anytime he wants.
If you feel like making that 12-hour drive, Len, come on. Drop time, off some cheer wine.
Next time you're coming through Kalamazoo, just drop some soda on my back porch. That'd be cool.
Done. Especially if it's winter. Keeps it cold, right?
Yeah, sure.
Other stuff we should talk about before we get into this year in review.
Christmas.
Jazz.
Christmas. Yeah, Christmas was a thing. It that is going to happen in our future, but happened in our builders' pasts when they're hearing this. Christmas is a wonderful time of year when everybody gets together with their families and remembers how much they hate their family.
Yeah.
And how much they hate spending a lot of time with their family.
Christmas.
Oh boy.
I'm not a big fan of the holidays in general.
No. You know what? If I could, if we could just stop, like Halloween is the best holiday of the year. And if we could just not think about it again to like, I don't know, like Memorial Day.
Right.
That'd be okay.
You know what I hate about Christmas time?
What do you hate about Christmas time, Jason?
Needing to do anything not Christmas time related in a public place. Like needing to go to the store to get groceries.
Yeah.
Or needing to go down Westridge, which is the big road in Portage where we
live. Main drag, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the commercial the big five lane center, road, yeah, you know. Right. So it is constant traffic now in Westridge.
It's awful, yeah.
Every store you go to is constantly packed. Even if it's not the time for the store to be packed, right?
Still so packed.
Yeah, and it's just infuriating.
Yeah. Oh, but don't worry, it'll be over soon.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So, and I'm going to skip out for a few days. So coming up here. Yeah, so right. Yeah. So that I'll miss that. And then,
so your big anniversary grand gesture thing, is that all you're getting your wife for Christmas?
That's not even for Christmas, technically. No, I think I'm going to get her a pair of slippers because she said, since whatever you get me, Josiah's going to tell me anyways, how about you just get me what I want? I said, sounds awesome.
Sounds good. Yeah.
So yeah. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Christine and I figured this crap out here. You know what? What we do is we like 3 years ago we bought stockings, right?
Yeah.
And we just buy little junky garbage funny stuff to put in stockings. It's great. It's great.
We did that for a few years too. So
it's great. I like it. Yeah. It's cheap. Except this year I bought her a diamond necklace. So you know, because that's small and it fits in the end of a stocking pretty good.
Right. Right.
And the thing is that I always know that she will like. We'll make a deal every year. Okay, you're not going to get anything expensive, are you? No. No, I'm not either. Okay, got a deal. Deal.
And she always does, doesn't she?
And she always sticks with the deal, and I never stick.
Oh,
with the deal.
I thought you were going to say she always tricks you too.
No. She never. She always sticks with the deal and just buys cheap, funny stuff.
Right.
I never stick with
the deal. I did that to my wife one time where we agreed on a price, and there was a necklace. There was a really nice necklace. She liked a diamond necklace. She really liked, right?
Yeah.
And then there was this other necklace we happened to see somewhere else that she liked that was really cheap, right? Mm-hmm. So I get the box for her, and I get the cheap necklace, right? Mm-hmm. Then I also bought the diamond necklace, put it in the bottom of the stocking.
Yeah.
So like,
nice.
She opens it, and she's like, oh, thanks, you know? And then she gets to the bottom, and like, ah ha. And she was like, but there was a rule. You broke it. But hey, diamonds.
Christmas. Oh, wait, diamonds.
And done.
Okay, that's okay, I guess.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the year that was.
Oh, man, 2015, what a year.
What a year
for BTG.
Yeah.
It was the year of stuff for BTG. This is our year in review show. Welcome.
Welcome. And where's my...
We're happy to have you, ladies and gentlemen.
I can't find my
welcome once again
email that I sent myself
to an exciting episode of Building the Game, a documentary podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the year that was the year of 2015.
I can't find the email that I sent myself.
2015.
Crap.
It was a big year. It was a long year. 365 days in this year. We're not quite to the end of it yet, but
next year is 366, though, right?
So is it a leap year next year?
I think it's a leap year next
2016, year. 2016 going to be a crazy year, but we're not there yet. We're talking about 2015. Let me tell you guys, 2015, we've got a lot to talk about. While Jason is busy looking up the kinds of things that he wants to talk about for 2015, let me continue talking about the things.
Got it.
Okay, so, we're going to move on now.
Okay, so I don't know if you did this, but I told you I did this, so it's fair game. I, because this is the third time we've done this, thought I would do a year-over-year comparison.
Okay,
just to make some notes to myself about like what about
what
last
kind of horrible
year?
Lies have we told ourselves in
the
builders in
the like
past?
What were my goals last year compared to this year, and how are those different?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, beautiful.
Some of it's depressing, but some of it's what's uplifting. So
okay. Well, all right, hey, as long as we have a mix of both, We're doing okay.
So we're going to just go straight down the line again this year.
We're going to go question 1 through 12, right?
Yeah, and we will ask each other questions back and forth.
Right.
And I don't worry every time when I can say, last year I said this and this year I said this, but just some of them I feel comparison is interesting. So, so I'll ask first.
Go for it.
Ask. What is the best new game you played this year, Rob?
What is the best new game that I played this year, Jason? That's a great question, Jason. Let me answer that question for you.
Yep. I bet I know what it is. I'm thinking.
You're thinking?
Going. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay. You're reading my mind.
Yep.
All right, Kreskin. What am I going to come up with?
That warehouse game.
Warehouse 51?
Yeah.
That was a close second.
Oh, okay.
Warehouse 51 is a great game. Yeah. I really like that game a lot. The best game that I played, though, I think, in 2015 was one of those games that Chris Kopak imported from Germany, and I can't remember what it was called.
Oh, was it the one where it was like...
With the combinations of the cards and the
cards. I hated that game. It was so good.
Great.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what it's called,
neither
dude.
Do I.
I have no idea. It was some German name, and I can't remember what it's called, but it was so awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Chris Kopak, I don't know if you listen to this show. You probably don't.
But where you had to like put the cards on one side to take cards from the other.
Oh, man.
You should ask him what
that
is because we should totally order that game. It's really good.
I loved that game, and I want to play it like 200 more times.
I started playing the game, and I was like, this game is weird. I don't like it. And then like two rounds later, I was like, this game is the best. I actually forgot about the game. That would be a close second for me.
It's so good. So I can't remember what that game was called, so I have to say Warehouse 51.
German something.
Something in German, and it was freaking great.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll have to reach out to Chris and figure out what that
was. Yeah, we can do that. Yeah.
Hey, builders, the game we're talking about is called Tausch Rausch. That's TauschRausch. It's designed by Rüdiger Dorn. Looks like it's only available as an import right now, but cross your fingers that it will someday be available in the U.S. Easily. So, yeah, Tausch Rausch, it's super rad. Game of the year for me. Thanks, Chris. All right, back to the show.
The problem is if I say, Chris, what was that German game we played? He'd be like, I don't know, because I bought a ton of German
200
games this
different
year.
Ones.
Yeah. He's been really into the Euro. Like, when I say Euro games, I mean games from Europe.
Right, yeah, that he imports. Let me ask you a question, Jason.
What, do I get to answer?
What was the best new game that you played this year?
Do you have a guess what I'm going to say?
I have no idea what you're going to say.
Really?
No, I don't know. I didn't think about it.
Really?
I don't know. I struggled just to answer the questions on my own.
Let me just do a quick impression.
Okay.
Oh, your game? Sorry.
Oh, the game that I accidentally dumped beer on.
I just pretended to spill beer on our table here.
Yeah.
Codenames, I think, was my... Codenames, I don't know that I would...
Yeah, by the way, I spilled beer all over Jason's copy of Codenames the other night, so I'm sorry about that.
That's all right.
You'll have a fresh copy in the mail shortly.
He's such a nice guy. It's like, what I like about the game so much is it's one of those barrier-breaking games, right? Like, it's a party game, but it's a gamer party game.
Yeah.
So, like, gamers like it, but you can play it with non-gamers, and they instantly get it. And they're instantly drawn in.
Right.
And anytime you can have a game like break down barriers like that, I'm really into that.
It's well worth it. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And we've played it probably 20 times now, like 20 games, I would say.
Close to it.
I've played at least 20.
Yeah.
I've never gotten tired of it because it's a different experience every time.
Yeah. And as long as you're playing with fresh faces, you know, it continues being new and exciting.
Right. Like we played 3 games of it last week or a week or so ago.
Yeah.
It was super fun because you rotate out the spy master every time.
Right.
We had a great time.
Yeah. It's fun. It is a good game.
So you can start with this one.
Okay. If my phone catches up with me here. next question, Jason, Mr. Slingerland, sir.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering for question number 2, same question we had last year for question number 2. What was your favorite part this year of Gen Con?
Oh, of Gen Con. What a great question, Rob. Thank you for asking.
Well, yeah, my pleasure.
I'm
interested to hear what your answer is.
The same answer as last year,
which
was the Iron Design Contest.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, for an hour, Bruno Cathala and I were best buds.
You were tight.
And then when we got done, he complimented the crap out of it.
Yeah.
And I still don't understand why.
Yeah.
And then he posted for pictures with everybody, and everybody's really excited about that.
That was a good time.
And that man knows how to pose for a selfie with you.
Yeah,
like
he
makes a weird face. He's got it down. And he was such a good sport about stuff. And then the contestants had a great time. Freaking Joshua J. Mills showed up in a tux. I mean, it was ridiculous.
White tux.
Yeah,
all white tuxedo.
So as a reminder, next year, Joshua will be a judge.
Right.
And, Jason Tagmeyer will help us design next year's, which instantly makes me feel bad for the contestants because I know he'll think of terrible, terrible things to do to them.
Yeah. Speaking of Tagmeyer, by the way, we should give a shout out for Button Shy's Board Game of the Month Club.
Yes, we should.
Which it's a super, super cool thing that he's doing. He asked generously, kindly, and patiently, asked both of us to submit games for one of the months of the year. Yep. You came up with a really very cool drafting game.
Yeah, I'm really happy with it.
Yeah. I came with a completely, totally garbage game that I hesitate to even call set collection. He then worked very hard to turn make that game pretty good. So,
but I don't think we're allowed to talk about the themes yet.
Yeah, and I don't want to say that.
Well, he said what the general theme is, right?
Yeah.
It's movies. Right. It's cult movies. Yeah. And I'm very happy with the movie that I got. And I know Rob was pretty happy with what he got, too.
Very happy. But I just, man, it was just...
What's weird is yours seemed so easy.
It seems so.
But, like, I actually worked with you on some of the ideas, and it wasn't easy.
It was not easy at all.
So it's like I was very happy with how well my theme fit.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. And I had a vision in my head when mm-hmm. I heard about the game. I was like, it's got to be this.
Yeah.
And it turns out that was really fun. So
it was.
I want to point out that some fat kid from Twitter, mm-hmm. at some fat kid, I'm not just calling some dude fat, because that'd be mean, especially a kid. Like, that's just mean, right?
Yeah, right.
He did a lot of help rework on it.
Yeah.
And I don't know all of his rework stuff that made it in compared mm-hmm. to what I have, but he had some really good suggestions forced the game to be more difficult for the players, which I thought was great.
Yeah, and he and Jason worked together really hard on mine and really, I mean, turned that from a completely mediocre idea into something that I think is pretty cool.
I think they did like 11 drafts of it or something, right?
Something crazy. Yeah. And, you know, I think he's still going to give me credit for that, but he shouldn't. Honestly, he should not give me any credit for that.
So if you play the game and you don't like it, probably still Rob's fault. But if you do like it, congratulate Jason Tagmeyer.
Yeah. So back to the situation.
Rob, I have a question for you. It's a surprise question.
Uh-oh. I'm scared. What's going on?
At Gen Con last year?
Ah.
What was your favorite part?
Oh. I figured you would say the Iron Design Challenge.
Did you?
Yeah.
So did you say something different?
I said something different.
Oh, good for you.
Okay, now that was super fun, right?
Right.
That was super fun. But I think for me personally, the highlight was that evening we spent sitting in the lobby in the Hyatt playing games.
Yeah.
You and me
pretty awesome.
And Christine and Kopak. Jason Katarski and Chris Kopak and Eric Handler. And I think a couple other people floated in and out of there too.
Yeah, that was the best.
Oh God, that was
Gen Con.
That
right?
was what Gen yeah. Con. That is yep. the best thing about Gen Con.
A group
Con.
Of people who don't like hang out that often,
right?
You know,
just getting together for an evening and playing game after game after game and having so much fun.
And everybody being like, "Hey, I got another game. Hey, I got another game. Hey, let's try this game. Man. You want to try this game?" Like
that is why I go to Gen
so
Con.
So fun. Yeah,
that is why I go to Gen Con. That's what it's about.
Those are the moments, right?
Those are the moments that make it special.
Why Gen Con's Gen Con,
right? That's what makes it such an amazing experience. Oh boy. So this next one is a tough one.
Yeah.
So you need to ask this question here.
Oh, you get to go first. Oh dang.
Yeah. This is a tough one.
I feel like I was going to steal your answer, but now I feel like you're going to steal mine. I don't know what your answer is, but I'm just guessing.
Okay.
Rob, what was your favorite Kickstarter?
So this is really hard for me. Okay.
I know,
this
right?
This is really hard because I honestly did not back any game Kickstarters in 2015.
Right.
Not one.
Zero.
Zero. I think it was a really fascinating year for Kickstarter, frankly, in terms of the game market,
it
right?
It was, yeah.
It was really, really interesting. We had, in terms of the kind of independent business, we had the Fifth Street collapse, right? Their entire business model is based on Kickstarter, and their Kickstarters did not go as well as they wanted to, and they failed, right?
Yep.
We had Dice Hate Me with their whaling game that...
Didn't do well. And then they relaunched it, and it was their best Kickstarter ever, or pretty darn close to their best Kickstarter
Something
ever.
Like that. It did very well the second time. Right. And New Bedford, that was called,
Yeah, it was
right?
New Bedford, yeah.
Then Dice Hate Me also did Monster Truck Mayhem.
Right.
And they did it twice, and it didn't make it either time.
Yeah, which is really sad for two reasons.
Really sad.
Three reasons. One, Dice Hate Me is cool. Two, Ben Pinchback is awesome. Matt Riddle's okay. I'm just kidding. I love you, Matt. And then three, I mean, like, it's just, it's a good game, you know, it's a fun game, like, and it's a neat idea. And,
right.
And I read through, I followed that Kickstarter really closely and yeah. I read through the comments mm-hmm. a lot on yeah. that. Because anytime you see a Kickstarter fail from, especially from a well-known publisher mm-hmm. and then to do it twice in a row, even after they took feedback and tweaked things, mm-hmm. It was just really interesting. I think my personal takeaway, and this is not to take anything away from the game. It's just in what do I know? So, in a couple people in the comments said this, and this is what I was thinking before I read it, was if that game was about building monster trucks and then entering them in races, it wasn't a real-time game,
mm-hmm.
that would be my jam, man. I would be all over that game.
Sure.
You know what? I know that Chris kind of in the comments posted, Chris Kirkman did, about yeah. how the game had a hard time bridging the gap between what people presume is a real-time game, which is just a dorky, fun experience that's really simple and doesn't have a lot of decisions in it,
mm-hmm.
and a Dice Hate Me game, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this, for as much as real-time games aren't my jam, this was a very good hybrid of those two things, right?
Yeah, sure.
It was complex, yet real-time, which I'm incredibly bad at, so not my type of game. I mean, the yeah. only real-time game I've ever been decent at is Tessen, because the choices are very limited in mm-hmm. what I have to do,
sure.
and I still lose at that most of the time.
Sure.
So I just automatically assume other people agree with me, and that was probably part of the issue. But like Kirkman said, that's the heart of the game, right?
Yeah.
So
and you don't want to go against the heart of the game,
right? That said, if they ever relaunched a sweet monster truck game where you build monster trucks and then like enter them in races,
yeah,
I'm all about that. Yeah. So,
but that's not to say that every game failed in Kickstarter, because there were
hundreds of huge successes.
But I didn't back any of them. None of them right. really grabbed me as the big one. So all I can say, my favorite Kickstarter of the year was the relaunch of Mystery Science Theater 3000.
I thought you might say that. Yeah.
I mean, they've got some incredible talent coming back in for that show. Right. And they got it up to 14 episodes.
Yeah. And their stretch goal was 13. And then they added a 14th episode.
Man. And yeah. they made it. So.
Well.
And it is now. It's the biggest Kickstarter ever now, right?
No.
No, no? Oh, I thought it was.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because it only raised like $7 million, right?
Well, it was more than that.
Was it?
I think it was like 9.
There are ones that have went over 10.
Is it okay?
It was the biggest video Kickstarter ever.
Oh,
like
that's
for
what I'm
film
thinking.
Video. Okay, it was right. the biggest one ever because right. it blew Veronica Mars out of the water.
Right, right.
Well, I mean, dude. So halfway through the Kickstarter, they're like, oh, by the way, Felicia Day's in this,
right.
and then it's Patton Oswalt.
Right.
Like it doesn't get better for the nerds than those right. two people.
And then when
so.
They said, by the way, Neil Patrick Harris is probably going to be able to come back and he'll probably sing a duet with Felicia Day. So you know, if you guys could give us a bunch of money, we could probably make that happen.
And they were like. Yeah. Yes.
Also, by the way, one of the Mythbusters is going to do all the special effects for us. Also, by the way, we've got all these other famous people doing all the writing for us and on
yeah.
and on and on.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Realistically, though, I mean, the biggest Kickstarter story of the year was Exploding Kittens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which actually is the biggest Kickstarter ever, right? That's got to be.
It's pretty close. Either it's close.
It was massive.
It might be, yeah. It was
huge. Huge.
It was crazy.
Right,
so.
And that's a game project. It's the oatmeal, but
right.
but it's a game
it,
project.
I mean, remember that it didn't succeed because it's a game project. It succeeded because it's the oatmeal.
Yeah.
In spite of it being a game project, it still succeeded crazy because
right.
it's the oatmeal.
Right, right.
Yeah. Now, some people complain because that takes money away from independent people, but I say, nay,
no.
That's a ton of people who didn't know what Kickstarter was that back that. Clearly,
I agree.
Because no game has ever come close to that.
Right. And that's a bunch of people now that are thinking about games,
right.
party games
yep.
that weren't previously.
Yeah, so. Right.
I think it's a great thing. I think it's
right.
a great thing. Now, I didn't back it, and I
didn't either, because I won't ever play it, so.
Yeah, right. But I'm glad that it happened.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So.
So, but anyway, Jason, what was your favorite Kickstarter?
There wasn't one.
Oh, ouch. Ouch.
And I backed several Kickstarters.
Yeah.
But nothing really clicked for me to where I was really excited to
yeah.
watch one, right?
Yeah.
Like, where I was like, oh, I'm going to watch this Kickstarter just kill it. I'll tell you what the most useful Kickstarter to me was this year. The guys who did Snap Lights. Remember Snap Lights?
Yeah.
Did the Snap Plugs. Which is like it's like a Snap Light, except for like, so Snap Lights, sorry, in case you don't know what those are, they are plug covers, look like a normal plug cover,
outlet covers,
yeah, outlet covers, sorry, except for they have three LED lights in the bottom, three or four, I can't remember, and a light sensor, and you just put them on like a normal one. They touch the sides and they channel the electricity through there.
And
right?
They have a light sensor so that when it gets dark in the room, it automatically turns on the light. Yep. You don't have to worry about putting a battery in.
It doesn't take up your outlet space.
Right. It's super cool.
And it, and it doesn't take hardly any energy because it's just these little tiny LEDs. We have like seven of them in our house. Mm-hmm. It's the greatest thing. Like
I've got three of them, I think.
You can walk anywhere in my house at night and see without the lights on, no problem.
It's great. They're really nice.
So they did another one this year that was...
Snap lights, USB.
Yeah, USB. So there's no light on it, which is, it's okay because where I use mine doesn't matter. So next to my bed now, that has that. Mm-hmm. And I have a USB cable that I bought with it that's like 6 feet long.
Oh, nice.
So every night I can plug my iPhone in and plug it in and I can have that sitting next to my bed charging and it's right there. And I love that. Like it's because otherwise I'm like,
cool.
Where's my charger? Oh, crap. I left it in here. Now it's dedicated. I know it's there. It's the best. So
that's cool. That's very cool.
If I had to pick a favorite, it'd probably be that only because it was so friggin' useful to me.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, next question coming up here on Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Question number four. What was your favorite episode of the show in 2015?
So normally it's one episode, but I changed it to a different episode this year. So my favorite episode of the show was the Grand Con live show.
Mm.
And that's because... that is what our show is about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like we were sitting there in that room with you and me and some builders.
Yep.
Just jib-jabbing about a convention, right?
Yep.
Doing lightning round pitch. I always love when we do lightning round pitch challenges. That's one of my favorite things we do because it's so ridiculous.
A ton of fun.
And it makes everybody be nervous and puts everybody on the spot, including us. And I don't get nervous. Actually, it's funny. I get more nervous about it when there's other people in the room.
Yeah.
Because like everyone expects you and I to be good at it because we do it so often.
Right.
Performing in front of the builders actually with them there feels like I better be good at this.
Yeah.
It was so fun. Like those are some of my favorite builders that we just got to hang out with and just chat. And they loved being part of the show and I love that they loved being part of the show. I'm honored that they loved to be part of our show.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that they listen every week. So that was one of those things that makes me want to do this podcast.
Yeah,
right.
Sure.
So,
could not agree more.
Yeah.
Yeah. As a runner up for me, episode 144.
Wait, so was that your favorite as well? Or no, you're saying I'm confused. Or you're saying this is the runner up. I'm going to tell you the favorite after that.
I had forgotten. Your answer is not what I written down, but you make an excellent point.
Okay. I see.
So as a runner up to that episode 144, when we had, Matt Riddle and Ben Pinchback on, basically just talk about what it's like to pitch a game to a publisher.
Yeah, that was good.
That was an excellent conversation. Those guys basically just talked for an hour about pitching games to publishers.
And they're really smart about it.
They're really smart and they have a ton of experience about it. And it was very, very honest and candid. And I think it was basically a masterclass for anybody who's interested in pitching a game to a publisher.
Yeah.
And I like before I go back to Gen Con, I'm going to listen back to that game.
Me too. Yeah.
Or to that episode.
Before Unpub even, I think I will.
Yeah.
So.
Because if anybody out there, if you haven't heard that show, or if it's been a while and you're about to pitch to a publisher, go back and listen to that show. Those guys have so much knowledge and so much experience and so much intelligence.
It's crazy.
About that.
They're really smart dudes.
It's one of those things. It's one of those episodes where, it makes me proud of what we do here and it makes me proud of some of the decisions that we've made to have these conversations with people.
Right.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel awesome that we have friends that are such smart designers.
Absolutely. Right. So that was, I think my,
that is a great answer. That is a great answer.
So, okay. Whose turn is it? I think it's your turn.
Yeah. What is your favorite pitch that I did?
Okay. So for me this year, my favorite pitches from you were all about theme.
Okay.
Okay. I think this is a really strong year for you with coming up with exciting themes.
So did you give like multiple?
I couldn't pick either three that I had.
Wow. That makes me feel good.
Yeah. And I couldn't decide on one overall. So obviously the most recent one that I loved
was Dungeon Curmudgeons.
Yeah. With the old people fighting monsters in their retirement village in Florida. I freaking love that thing. I think that's super fun and super funny.
Well, thank you.
The next one that I really liked was your game about brain analysis, measuring skull shape and stuff.
Oh, the phrenology.
I think that's a super cool theme.
Cool. Thank you.
It's a super cool theme. And that
the game's just okay, but the theme is really cool.
The game that you had with that was interesting, but that theme I think is killer. It's really killer. And the other one that I really liked from you a lot was your Robot Cowboys game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Robots.
I never did anything with
driving
that.
Cattle or driving like things across the plains.
Roblox of, I don't remember. Roblox of something Ridge or something. I don't remember.
I don't remember how you phrased it. But yeah, but your Robot Cowboys driving.
Yeah. They were
get along little doggies across the plains.
Basically, it's like in the Civil War, they had these robots that fought, and then they retrofitted them to be cowboys afterwards. Yeah.
Yeah. I just, man, those three, I think, were standouts for you in terms of theme this year. Yeah.
I actually forgot about the Robot Cowboys game. Yeah. So, yeah.
So.
Well, thank you. So, you're probably not even going to like this one that I picked for you.
Oh, no.
Because the one I picked for you is a pitch challenge.
Oh, really?
And the theme spoke to me, but that doesn't count because you can't use the theme. But the game was one of your best ideas, I thought, on the fly. And this is the Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
That the game, like, in the theme is what sells it. But like if you could find a theme that would work for that, that game, like, I really want to play that game. And that's where you are the bad guys trying to defeat the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
And I just loved it. That was hands down the first thing I thought of.
Okay.
And again, I know it stinks for you because it's not like one of your actual games.
It's not
like
an easy thing to pursue. Yeah.
But it was just, it was good, man.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
all right, cool. Yeah. It was a fun one to pitch. All right.
It's your turn. Yeah.
Is it my turn now?
Cause I just answered. So now it's your turn. Yeah.
What was your favorite pitch that you came up with?
Mine was, I think, my favorite pitch, because I based it on, did I end up with something that I think I'm going to like? And so for me, it was Shipwreck Shore.
Okay.
Because that's one of the more interesting ideas I think I've thought of, at least in my mind, complexity game-wise. So that's what I picked for me.
All right. Well, I think you probably guess for me, but Smithereens. I really like that theme a lot. And obviously it's what I'm going to try and pursue. And it frustrated me that my first prototype of it was basically a colossal failure.
I disagree with you, but
well, it was not what I wanted it to be.
That's,
you know, and it's, you know, I've never forgot about it. And thank you to all the builders out there who kind of kept reminding me about how much they liked it so that I'm coming back to it now to take another crack at it.
Right.
Yeah. So,
all right.
Yeah. Okay. Your question next.
What is your favorite prototype that I made?
I don't know if you're going to agree with me on this one.
Okay.
Okay. And I'm never sure how to say it. Mushy Mushy.
Really?
I thought that game was great.
I don't agree with you.
I thought that was a fun game to play.
Oh, wow.
I thought that was fun. I know it was a very simple game.
Right.
It was a very, very simple game, but I thought that was just a fun, cute little game that you could easily play with kids and just have a really good time, even for an adult.
I agree with you, but because of the main kid factor, I was like, nobody's going to publish this game.
Well,
but I thought it was a cool idea.
Yeah, so. I mean, I think it was fun. I liked just the kind of the cute theme to go with it too. You know, everybody's saying hi to the aliens, hi aliens,
right.
And you got to say it over and over and over again until they figure out what you're saying.
Right.
And I thought it worked really well for me.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
I still have that prototype together. I mean, I could definitely do something with it again.
Yeah, I liked it.
So my answer for you, I know you're not going to agree with based on what you just said. Mine for you is Smithereens.
Oh, really?
Because despite the fact that the first prototype wasn't good.
It was not good.
But here's what the first prototype had, and that was promise, right? Like, playing that prototype, even though it wasn't good, I had fun. And you know why I had fun? Because the theme is killer.
Okay.
And there were some things in there that worked really well. There were a lot of things that didn't work, but there were enough things that worked that... To me, I picked this because I want you to have that boost of confidence that what you're working with is worthwhile and you should pursue it. And plus, what other prototypes did you really make this year?
Not a lot. The only other one that I really worked on was Inexorable March to the Grave.
Which I actually thought about picking that one because I really liked it, but I also know you're not doing anything with it right now.
I want to, but actually, Len helped me a lot with that at GrandCon, and I just haven't had the time to work on it since then.
And I think that what was so cool about that game is that you started out with a game that was not fun. And like within like three iterations, you had a game that I thought was pretty fun and pretty intense. Yeah. So that was all. So that's okay. I think that's a good second.
Okay.
Being like the only other prototype you did.
Yeah, right. Your question next.
What is your favorite prototype that you made?
The Inexorable March to the Grave.
Hey, we're all crazy.
Yeah. I ended up being pretty happy with that after working on it with Len at GrandCon this year. And thank you again, Len, for all your help with that. Len and I have been talking by email about Soda Kings more.
Uh-huh.
He has a lot of really good ideas with that, and I just haven't had the time available to really focus on it. And so hopefully in 2016, that's something he and I can talk about more together. But in terms of 2015, Inexorable March to the Grave, I think I still want that to be the next thing that I throw up on GameCrafter. And I am frustrated with myself for not doing that in 2015. So that is going to be one of my priorities for 2016 once I get past Unpub, is to get that on GameCrafter.
Cool.
Yeah. So how about yourself? What was your favorite prototype that you made?
The River Mighty, or whatever it's called now. There's never been a time before when I made a prototype and on literally the first iteration, people played it and they were like, wow, you should change these two things. And it wasn't even the cards. It was like, change this rule. Mm-hmm. So that at the end of the game, this happens.
Yeah.
And that's been literally the extent of the feedback, other than pick a different theme. Like, and it's been played by a lot of people now. So that's one of those things that doesn't happen, right? Like, you design a game and then it suddenly is just, it's ready to go to a publisher. And granted, they might do some dev work on it, right?
Of course.
I'm sure there's some balancing stuff that could be done, but. And I have done some for the newest version I'm making. I've done some balancing where I've said, oh, the points on this should be higher or lower based on that.
Sure.
But like, as in card numbers and stuff like that, I'm not tweaking any of that because it works. My big thing was tweaking turn order so that the game now takes 12 turns no matter how many people you play with it. Because that, so 12 turns, which is actually, in a 4-player game, is actually 48 turns, meaning like everyone is going to go 12 times, right? But that goes very fast, right?
Yeah.
So, because in a 2-player game, it was up to 15, and I was like, nah. And I figured out how to scale it so that you always end up with 0 cards at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets an extra turn, and it's over. And that always happens to 12 turns. Setup is slightly varied depending on the number of cards that end up at kind of at the end of the river. That is different based on 2, 3, and 4 players. But that's it. That's the only thing that changed. And I love it. And you could add a 5th player to it, and I would just have to redo the math, and the game would still work fine.
Sure.
So I felt really good about that. That doesn't happen very often. Yeah. So
I need to play that game again. It's been a while since I played it. In fact, I didn't play it at all, Grand Con.
Right.
No. I don't think I've played it since our original playtest.
Right. Right, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, next time I get this new version out, we can do that.
Yeah, totally.
Is my turn to ask a question?
I lost track.
It's your turn.
Is it my turn?
Because I just answered. That means it's your turn, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's your turn.
Okay, all right. What is the best thing about doing a podcast?
So every year I say stuff like, oh, it's meeting people, oh, blah, blah, blah. And like last year I was like, I still enjoy this thing. Like, that's crazy. But you know what it is? I figured out what I truly enjoy about it is it's comfortable, right? It's just this thing we do now. It's just, it's part of us, right? We sit down and we make this podcast, and I appreciate the routine of it, right? Like in the fact that routine doesn't get old, you know, that it's always feels fresh to me. So the best way I can think to describe it is it's comfortable. It's a comfortable routine, and and that's kind of cool 4 years later, you know?
That's a good point. That's a good point. So for me, I was going to say, actually kind of along the same lines, I can't believe we still have stuff to talk about.
I know, right?
I mean, we're pushing 200 shows. We still have stuff to talk about this.
And right.
I mean, so that's fascinating to me. And I can't believe that we still have things to say, that we haven't run out of crap.
Right.
But in terms of my game design goals, I've said this many, many times on the show, it keeps me accountable. You know, and it keeps me always thinking forward and keeps me...
Right.
Being creative
keeps you designing games.
Keeps me designing games. Absolutely,
because we both admit it, without the podcast, we probably wouldn't design.
Wouldn't
games.
Be doing this.
I mean, I would try, but I
don't have the self discipline. Yeah. You know, right? So it's the same reason why I say, give me a deadline. If you want me to work on something, give me a deadline.
Right. Yeah,
yeah.
The show is basically a deadline.
Yeah,
for us.
Right, right, absolutely.
My question to you is, what will you do differently? What would you like to do? Since we never want to say what are we actually going to do, what would you like to do differently next year?
This one might sound weird.
Okay.
Okay. And I will say it, and then I will maybe explain some of the some of the context behind this.
Okay.
Okay. I want to do more design and less development.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Because 2015, I sold two games early in the year, right? And then I spend a lot of time continuing development on those same designs.
Right.
You know, a lot of time and a lot of my creative energy went into development and polish and finishing. Okay. Mm-hmm. More than I was frankly prepared for.
Right. Well, the development's not like fun for you. That's not your thing.
It's not what gets me excited. It's important work and it's work that needs to be done. And I'm glad that I did it. Right. But it's not what was exciting to me. The design part is exciting. And all I've ever done in the past is this, is the design part. Right. And development is the work. It's the hard work of making something great.
And there are some people that that's their favorite thing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and that's...
If you're not that guy.
That's the work part for me.
Right.
So in 2016, I want to get back doing more design stuff.
Right.
Because design is where I come up... is the fun part. It's where you come up with new ideas and you try new things. And that's exciting and interesting, and it's a really good learning opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to do more of that in 2016. Like I said, I already said, when I'm going to Unpub, I'm not expecting, I'm not even going to try and sell a game there. I'm going to be bringing a game that's newer and less polished so I can still kind of have fun and excitement in figuring it out.
Right.
You know, hopefully 2017 will be the development year again.
Right. Right.
But, for 2016, I want to do more new prototypes, try new ideas and have more fun with it. So
cool.
I also want to do a little less freelancing work. I the tail end of the year I've
you've done a lot.
I've stacked too many other projects.
Right. And now you're behind on the stuff you need to be.
Right. I'm behind on working on my stuff. I've been spending too much time working on other people's stuff.
Right.
And that's okay. That's okay. But I just need to adjust my focus.
Yeah.
So yeah. How about you?
So mine is also counterintuitive compared to what it usually is. My main goal is always make more protos. You don't make enough protos.
Mm-hmm.
My goal this year is to make less protos.
Really?
And that's because I made about 10 protos last year, and that was about 7 too many. I have a trouble sticking with ideas for the long haul, but I do think, I don't think 10 is overshooting it. I think that, well, here, let's, so real quick, Mushi Mushi, the Lumberjack game, Lumberjackin'. can I say that in the air? I don't know.
I didn't
say the worst name.
Whatever.
I made the train robbery game this year.
Yeah.
I made the... I already said Mushi Mushi. I made the Mario Kart game. I'll give myself that. The River Mighty, Robot Cowboys, Shipwreck Island, the Postmaster game where you're sending mail around.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm confident I'm forgetting it.
Your brain game.
My brain game, yep.
That's 10 right there.
Yeah, so there's more than that. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's so many that I can't remember them all.
Yeah.
So my goal this year is to focus on a few games, not to get so excited about games, and to focus on just a few games and really try to work on those.
So you want to focus more on development?
Yeah. You know what? Here's the thing. I mean, last year I felt free to do that because I had a game getting published.
Sure.
Now I'm back to, I just really need to get a game published.
Yeah.
So that puts me back in the mentality of getting a game perfected to try and get it sold.
Sure.
I mean, ideally this year, my goal this year is to try and sell two games, like to focus hard enough on games to try and get two games that I could get in writing sold.
Sure.
And that's a pie in the sky thing that I very well may sell zero games again this year.
But it's good to have goals.
But that's my goal, right? That's my target. And I'm telling myself, if I don't focus on two to three games, that's what's going to happen. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Ramblers is in a position that I could sell it. I feel it's a lot better than it was.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I could get publisher interest on this River game. So there's two right there. So like if I could get one of those to work, awesome. So yeah. So that's kind of my thought process on that.
Okay. Cool.
Is
it my turn?
Nope, it's me.
Okay.
What new game coming out in 2015 are you most excited about?
2016.
16. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yep.
My most excited about.
Right.
Well, this is an easy one.
Right.
Saloon Tycoon.
Right.
Yeah. And I say that only because I don't have any release dates on target for Epic Monster Tea Party.
Right, right. Could also be coming out at the same time.
Might, yeah, in which case it's a toss-up. But right. Slim Tycoon still scheduled, as far as I know, for sometime in the first quarter of 2016. It will hit Kickstarter. I don't know when the actual delivery date will be. If it's Kickstarter in early 2016, hopefully by the end of 2016, it could be in people's hands.
Right.
Assuming Kickstarter awesome. Goes well.
So,
but yeah, I mean, that's obviously because it's my game. It's my first thing that will ever be
right.
published. And
right.
Yeah, that's exciting. How about you?
So my reflection on last year is mine was Gunslinging Ramblers. So, yeah. So it's not that this year. Instead this year, I'm focusing on someone else's game. And that is a game that Katarsky is publishing, and that's Walk on Fire. Which you didn't get to play at Grand Con, but I he was generous enough after much begging to send me a preview copy.
Oh, cool.
So, because I was like, dude, I just want to play this game. Please send me a preview. He's like, I'll send you one. So he was gracious enough to send me a preview copy. But it's a game where you've got these cards that are face down and you've got these cards that are painted like spatulas, and you're flipping cards over in this wok.
You're trying to
make yeah. Like stir fry, and it's amazing, dude. It's so good. That is by far the one I'm most excited about. I was like, I promise, if you give me a preview copy, I will still buy a Kickstarter copy. So
cool.
Yeah, so
that'd be walk a
total
on fire.
Jerk move, right?
Like, W-O-K on
yeah
fire.
Like walk on fire. Yeah, yeah. So
cool.
All right, what
I get the last one, don't I?
No, because whoever answers last asks the next question.
I think you've asked the question like 4 times in a row now.
I don't think so.
You totally have. So I'm going to ask this last one here.
Okay.
What are you looking forward to most for the podcast in 2016?
You know, I think it's just the possibilities, right? Like, we never know what's going to happen with the show over the next year.
Yeah.
Like, we've tried to predict and we've tried to say, oh, it's going to be this. But you know what? Like, I don't know. The best thing for the podcast next year is the stuff that hasn't happened yet that I have no idea is going to happen. Like that episode of Grand Con that was my favorite episode this mm-hmm. year, never thought that was going to happen. We weren't even going to record at Grand Con.
Sure.
And yeah. then we decided to, and it turned out to be the best decision of the year for making a podcast.
Good.
So, yeah.
Cool.
What about you?
For me, it's two things. Number one is going to be experiencing a Kickstarter campaign.
You're excited about that?
I'm excited about sharing that with builders.
Okay, because you should be nervous about that, because it's a terrifying experience.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that it will be terrifying. I'm far enough out from it right now that I'm not really scared. it's completely an abstract concept to me, right? But I'm sure as soon as it gets closer...
Once your game gets up there and you're
watching...
I'm going
to be crapping bricks
going up really fast.
Every day,
yeah.
And I'm going to be watching it like a hawk all day, every day.
And I won't help because I'm always like analyzing like, well, don't worry, if it hits this number, that means it'll hit that
right,
number, and blah,
right.
blah, blah.
Because
I do
on.
A lot of analysis of Kickstarter games.
And I know that AJ is going to be the one running it, but I'm still going to be...
But that's also scary because he has the control in the end.
Well, right.
All you can do is make suggestions.
So what I'm excited about is talking about the show and sharing it with people in the show. And because again, documentary podcast, we want to share this stuff with people. And I think we've already done that with Water Balloon Washout with mm-hmm. with you running that.
Right.
But we haven't done this yet from experiencing it from an outside perspective, you know.
Right.
And I think that'll be exciting. But I'm also really excited about Unpub.
Yeah.
You know, Unpub, I think, is going to be great.
I know Unpub's going to be great. I'm a little bummed because of this whole tag table BS, but...
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. I'm not complaining about Unpub, open more tables, but I mean, you know, it's really... It's a bummer, right? Like... It's a real big bummer.
Well, I mean, I get it. By some measure, they don't know how many people are going to show up, and if they have too many tables and they don't get the audience coming in.
And hopefully next year they'll have more tables.
I hope
but the problem is they'll have more designers. You know what I mean? So it's just, it's just, I'm bummed because that time was so precious. And even though I remember taking breaks when I could have been displaying, you know, my game, it wasn't half a day. that's too bad.
On the plus side, it will be nice to play some other people's games during the day.
Yeah, that'll be cool too.
And
just not each other's, because we'll be demoing at the same time.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So. Okay. I think that's the end of our questions, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So do we have anything else we want to talk about?
No, I don't think so. And we're actually right about time now, so we've done well.
All right. So I think. I mean, BTG continues, right?
Yep.
We continue. We go on toward episode 200 and beyond.
Yep.
That'll be hitting us here before we know it.
14 weeks from now.
14 weeks from now, right?
No, it's 187. 13 weeks
13 from weeks now. From now. Before we know it, I mean, yeah, holy cow, we're still doing this.
Yeah.
Holy
yeah,
cow,
yeah,
we're yeah, still so. Doing this. We started in 2013?
Yeah. No, 2012.
Aye, man.
We started in 2012. We did the partial year that year.
Yeah, right.
Because I always think we started in 2013 because we started like 2 months after my son was born, and I thought, how did I have time to do this podcast? But apparently we did. So
apparently we did.
Listen to as many episodes as you can before the year end. We're like, we're big time breaking records this year.
You don't even have to listen to them. Just download them.
Just download
a bunch.
I keep hoping Google Play will launch like December 20th.
I know. What the heck, Google Play?
And we'll get like thousands of downloads from Google Play.
By the way, guys,
I know that we will.
As soon as Google Play launches, we're there. We're on it.
We're approved.
It's ready
to
go.
Day one, we'll be there. Every single episode.
Yeah.
I put the entire catalog on there.
You don't have to mess with all your podcatcher crap anymore.
Yeah.
If you have an Android.
Right. So that'd be really cool. And I fully expect that we're going to, I mean, like thousands. I do not think I'm over exaggerating. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
So
it's been a digital year for us. I can't believe the growth we've had, the success we've had. It's all thanks to you guys out there. Thank you so much, builders. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for listening to our ups and our downs. You know,
right.
We've had some high points and some low points this year.
Right.
It's been a year for that too.
It has. Oh yeah. It's been a learning year like it always is.
Absolutely. So. And I hope that you guys, I hope you're getting out of it what we're getting out of it, you know?
Yeah. And one of the things I want to mention about our audience and the growth of our audience, we don't talk about numbers on the show, but here's a number I can share that was shocking to me and to Rob when I told them was 41% of all of our downloads for the show were this year. That tells you, we've been doing this for 4 years now.
Yeah.
The 3 years. That tells you how much that it's
how
growing.
Much growth we had this year,
and that's really encouraging to us.
It's amazing.
Because if it was going downhill, we'd be concerned. But the fact that more people are coming on board, it just tells us that we're doing something that is either right or wrong enough that it's a lesson and a warning sign to you guys. And either way, we're providing a service that we feel pretty good about.
At worst case scenario, we're helping you waste an hour of your time.
Exactly. You know,
well, you could be doing something important.
You maybe you drive to work every day for like an hour and a half and you just want to listen to us and it makes your day. I know at least one person that does that. Mm-hmm. And because of that, we keep doing this podcast. So,
okay.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Once again, thank you. Appreciate it. If you want to get in touch with us, send us an email to buildinggamepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow us at podcastbtg. Jason is at JASlingerland. I am at poorly_designed. You can like us on Facebook. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes and on Stitcher and on whatever Google Play thing eventually appears. You can call our Google voice number at 770-TEL-BTG. You can go to our website, buildinggamepodcast.com, where you can buy a copy of Water Balloon Washout and get that special end of year, beginning of new year deal that Jason still has going on right now. What else can you do? What am I forgetting? You can tweet at us using #BTGRumors and tell horrible, disgusting
lies about us.
Potentially true lies about us. You can have yourselves a spectacular new year.
Yes.
And we'll see you in 2016. Later on.
Good night. Happy New Year.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All of the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast. Next time on Building the Game.
But yeah, Dr. Quinn, man.
And then there's isn't that one dude, like he's a white dude who's Native American?
Sully, yeah, Sully, yeah.
But he's a white dude, right?
He's just some white guy with long hair who wears, you know, like buckskins all the time. I don't know, whatever.